From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. President Obama delivers a speech to a joint session of Congress and the nation tonight, hoping to reinvigorate momentum for redesigning the country's health insurance system. NPR's Julie Rovner reports.
16 years ago this month, then-President Bill Clinton launched his unsuccessful effort to overhaul the nation's health system with a nationally televised speech to Congress. President Obama says he's hoping this speech will help Congress finish the job. While President Clinton delivered a full proposal to Capitol Hill, President Obama has left the details to lawmakers. Too many details, critics say. So aides say Mr. Obama will lay out more specifics in his speech about exactly what he expects Congress to provide, both in the way of security and cost containment for people who have insurance now and help for those who are uninsured. Meanwhile, a bipartisan group of senators will meet again today in hopes of reaching agreement on the last committee proposal, given a chance to win any Republican votes. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
It appears the president's plan will not win the vote of Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky.
The White House has attempted to retool its message on health care many times. It should be clear by now that the problem isn't the sales pitch. The problem is what they're selling.
Sarah Palin is again criticizing Democratic proposals. The former Alaskan governor and Republican vice presidential candidate has an editorial in the Wall Street Journal. She says a one-size-fits-all plan will not improve the health care system. Palin again claimed the proposal would allow so-called death panels to make end-of-life decisions. An earlier version would have paid for doctors to consult with patients on end-of-life issues, but was dropped out of concern it would be misunderstood. Democrats in Massachusetts are putting political pressure on state lawmakers to allow Governor Deval Patrick to name an interim successor to the late Senator Edward Kennedy. NPR's Audie Cornish reports.
Massachusetts Democrats want lawmakers to pass a bill that would let the Democratic governor appoint a temporary successor until a special election can be held early next year. But Democrats were the ones who changed the law in the first place to deny a Republican governor the opportunity to make an appointment when Senator John Kerry ran for president 5 years ago. Republican critics say this is a power grab intended to ensure the Democratic majority in Congress. So far, Governor Deval Patrick has said he'd ask any appointee not to seek re-election, although he can't guarantee they won't. State lawmakers are set to hold a public hearing on the matter later today in Boston. Audie Cornish, NPR News, the Capitol.
On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 26 points at 95.24. The Nasdaq is up 8 points at 20.45, and the S&P is up 3 at 10.28. This is NPR News from Washington. The Supreme Court is to meet in about an hour, in almost a month before the opening of its new term. Justices are holding a special session for additional arguments in a case heard earlier this year. At issue is whether a 90-minute movie critical of then-presidential candidate Hillary Clinton should have been regulated as a campaign ad. The court could change long-standing restrictions on corporate and union contributions to political campaigns. A federal judge has ruled that New York State discriminated against the mentally ill by leaving them in large nursing homes. NPR's Robert Smith reports.
In the 1960s and 70s, New York State shut down its large mental institutions. Instead, they paid to have the mentally ill put up in private group homes. In 2003, a New York Times investigation found that such homes were often squalid and incompetently staffed. The group, Disability Advocates, sued the state. Now, federal judge Nicholas Garifas has ruled that the state violated the Americans with Disabilities Act by housing thousands of these patients in these homes. The judge said in his report that the mentally ill residents weren't taught skills to live on their own and were essentially warehoused. The judge did not order the patients released. Instead, he directed New York State to come up with a remedial plan by mid-October. Robert Smith, NPR News, New York.
A reporter for the New York Times was rescued in northern Afghanistan today, where he'd been held captive by Taliban fighters. Stephen Farrell and an Afghan translator were seized Saturday while reporting on a German-ordered airstrike of two hijacked fuel tankers. British commandos raided the house where they were being held early this morning. Officials say that one of the commandos and the Afghan translator were killed in the operation. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.